Do you love or like watching superhero movies? I see a lot of nodding. Okay. Ako, I do. I enjoy watching some of the DCs and Marvels, some animes na may kasama yung superhero despite na siya yung movies or TV series. So don't ask me ano mga pinapanood ko, but trust me, hindi lahat pinapanood ko. Okay? I know all of us enjoy watching these kasi meron tayong mga certain qualities na nakikita sa mga superheroes na ito that we admire and we are amazed at. Ang naging favorite na natin sila growing up probably and we enjoy watching them or reading about them sa comics ng bata and now watching it in real live movies. Tapos at the end of the day, what usually predict sa mga ganitong superhero movies, lahat ng mga plans nila ay natupad and then they win against sa kanilang mga kalaban or against the forces of evil. So usually yan yung story na nakikita natin. But there is this one superhero na napanood ko, superhero movie, na kung saan yung kalaban niya ay mas malakas. Sobrang lakas ng kalaban ito, nabugbog niya yung superhero na pinapanood ko. And at the end of the day, lahat ng mga plano niya failed. And then he died. And all of his plans died with him. Medyo nakakalungkod kapag ang mga heroes, superheroes natin sa mga ganun na palabas ay natatalo. Ano? In real life, we also get saddened if our heroes fail. You know, sa Bible, si Abraham was considered as a hero of the faith. And we have seen sa series natin, he has made huge steps of faith and he is doing really well sa kanyang walk with God. At sa next chapter, we will now see how he receives the promised child, which is at chapter 21. But this morning, we will see our hero fail. Bumagsak siya sa kasalanan. He endangered many people's lives, including the promised child. Dahil sa faith failure ni Abraham, matutupad pa ba ang promises and plans ng Panginoon? May plano pa ba ang Panginoon kay Abraham? Ito ang titignan po natin sa passage natin ngayong umaga. We are now in the last part ng ating sermon series this year sa historical book called Genesis, where we entitled The God of Abraham. We are hoping to get back sa sermon series na ito next year on the first quarter, Lord willing. Pero so far na nasaksihan na natin sa series na ito kung paano nag-grow ang faith at ng patriarch na ito si Abraham. As he continued to make steps of faith, trusting God's promises, trusting God's word sa kanyang daily life. First time nakita natin sa chapter 12, he exercised faith when he obeyed God's call to leave his homeland, his people, his kanyang mga kamag-anak, his gods that he worshiped, and go to a land that God will show him afterwards. God promised him a great name, that he would be a great nation, a land for his descendants, and that he would bless him to be a blessing to the families of the earth. He will bless those who bless him, and those who curse Abraham, God will curse. After years of waiting and still no child, sa chapter 15, God reiterates ang kanyang covenant or promise sa kanya na his descendants ay kasing dami ho ng mga bituin sa langit. Abraham, in chapter 15, trusted God and God credited it to him as righteousness. God could even confirm his covenant when he walked in between pieces of dead, cut animals as a sign that God will fulfill his promises if hindi niya tutuparin ito, mangyayari sa kanya ang nangyari sa mga dead animals. And he also given him a covenant sign of circumcision. So chapter 16 to 18, God changed their names and promised that he will have a son through Sarah na ang pangalan ay Isaac. God also revealed to Abraham his plan to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and its neighboring cities, to which by faith Abraham leaned towards his friendship with God and pleaded and prayed that God would spare at least the whole city if he found 10 people, which God agreed. So chapter 19, God fulfilled his promise with both judgment and mercy. Judgment because there were no 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom. Mercy as he remembered his nephew Lot. God remembered Abraham and spared Lot at ang kanyang daughters. So, that's a spiritual high. Si Abraham, he's doing really well sa kanyang walk in faith. Pero sa chapter na ito, we will see how Abraham's faith once again faltered. Our main idea this morning is this. Our God is faithful to keep his promises despite our faith failures. Our God is faithful to keep his promises despite our faith failures. Once again, we have 2 points from this passage. Number one, man's faith failures, verses 1 to 2. And number two, God's grace and faithfulness, verses 3 hanggang 18. Man's faith failures, and number two, God's grace and faithfulness. Let's jump into the first point. Number one, man's faith failures. Basahin natin verses 1 and 2. I will be reading this English Standard Version. From there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. He sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. From there. I mean, from there. From there means kung saan siya una nakatira, which is sa Mamre. Makita natin sa chapter 18 yon, verse 1, kung saan dinalaw siya ng Panginoon at ng dalawang angels. Hindi natin alam kung bakit lumipat siya ng tirahan o bakit lumipat ng tirahan sila Abraham, pero marahil may kinalaman po ito sa destruction ng Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe the sight of sin's devastating consequences and the thought na baka nakasama si Lot sa paggunaw ng Sodom brings unbearable sorrow sa puso niya. Kaya siguro lumipat sila ng lugar. Kasi yung tirahan niya, paglabas siya sa taas ng bundok, nadudungaw niya yung destruction. It could be a sad memory para sa kanya. Kaya from Mamre, lumipat sila Abraham sa Gerar. At ang pakilala niya sa kanyang asawa na si Sarah sa lugar na yon, sa mga taong bayan doon, na kapatid niya, hindi asawa. Once again, makikita natin sa verse na ito, he lied. Again, and I will say again, kasi mamaya I will talk about it kung bakit again. Nakarating kay Abimelech, which is a royal title, that means my father is king, na kung saan nandun si Sarah at siya ay kapatid ni Abraham. At kinuha si Sarah bilang asawa niya. Sa ancient Near Eastern custom, ang isang dalagang dayuhan na tumira sa teritorya ng isang hari o ng prinsipe ay may right i-claim ang dalaga bilang asawa o kalaguyo. Kapalit ay dowry sa mga kamag-anak. So this is a running custom. Nung panahong ito, marriage is held in high regard, even for pagans. At makikita po natin sa passage natin ito. Kaya ang mag-commit ng adultery ay isang malaki kasalanan and even isang krimen para sa kanila nung panahon na ito. Kaya kapag natay pa ng asawa ng dayuhan, mas pinipili ng iba ipapatay na lang ang asawang lalaki at pakasalan ng nabalo. We have no idea kung bakit. Maari siguro less complicated, mas madali than to commit adultery. I don't know. Silent ang Bible dyan. Pero yun ang madalas na nakikita kasi 3 times makikita natin yan sa Old Testament. Hindi ito ang unang beses na gawa ni Abraham sa asawa niya, gaya ng akin nabanggit. Nakita na natin na nakapagsinungaling na rin siya sa chapter 12, nung nasa Egypt sila. Dahil alam niya na maganda ang kanyang asawa at alam na pag nalaman na sila'y mag-asawa, ay papapatay siya. Ganun ulit, and then kukunin mismo si Sarah. Pero sa passage natin today, sa chapter 20, si Sarah ay 90 years old na. Okay? At wala nang nakasaad sa text natin na may ganon pa siyang angkin na ganda. So, ang tanong, bakit pinakasalan pa din ni Abimelech? Bakit kinuha pa rin? Bakit nagsinungaling pa rin? Of course, the root there is fear and disbelief sa Panginoon. Pero probably kung bakit kinuha siya ni Abimelech is because of marriage alliance. Marriage alliance. So, si Abraham nung time na ito ay hindi kagaya nung chapter 12 na hindi pa ganun ka big time. Ngayon, big time na siya sa chapter 20 eh. Si Abimelech ay maraming mga livestock, maraming mga servants, male and female. Marahil siguro pagdating niya sa Gerar na balita, alam ng tao kung kilala kung sino siya, na kung saan years back siya ang tumalo sa Eastern Kings. So probably this would be a good benefit para sa kingdom. At nalaman ng kapatid niya ay single ng hari, kaya pinakasalan. So, having a marriage alliance strengthens the kingdom and guarantees peace between both parties. Ngunit dahil sa pagsisinungaling niya ni Abraham, he is putting not only his wife in danger, but also the promised child. Bakit nga ba nagawa ni Abraham na ito? Bakit niya inulit ang kasalanan na ito? Hindi pa ba siya natuto doon sa nakaraan sa Egypt? Pagkatapos ng lahat-lahat ng ginawa ng Panginoon, the Lord protected him sa mga Eastern Kings. The Lord blessed him more than enough riches, and still he ends up lying. Bakit? Simple lang po ang sagot. Abraham, the father of faith, because of fear, has failed to trust the Lord in a difficult circumstance. This is a recurring thing para kay Abraham. Nung nasa Egypt siya, kagaya ng nabanggit ko, sa takot na patayin siya ni Pharaoh, he did not trust the Lord, kaya nagsinungaling na lang siya para i-spare siya ni Pharaoh. Nung ilang taon na silang walang anak, sa takot niya na tumanda silang walang anak, he did not trust the Lord. Pumayag na maging second wife si Hagar. At nagkaanak na si Ishmael, which is hindi ito ang promised child na sinasabi ng Panginoon. Gumawa siya ng sarili niyang plan. Did not trust the Lord. And now dito sa chapter 20, pareho ng Genesis chapter 12, dahil sa takot niya ipapatay siya ni Abimelech, he once again did not trust the Lord. At nagsinungaling siya kay Abimelech to spare his life. Nakikita ba natin yung pattern ng kasalanan dito ni Abraham? His initial response sa isang fearful situation is to sin. His failure to trust the Lord led him to lie, put everyone in danger. Hindi siya nagtiwala sa Panginoon. That's why he lied and compromised. He feared sin more than to suffer for the Lord. He feared sin. He feared sin more than to suffer for the Lord. Mga kaibigan, what fearful situation or circumstance are you in right now that is tempting you to distrust the Lord? Kakulangan ba sa budget o finances? Are you tempted to steal company money? Or take up more loans na alam mo na hindi naman talaga kayang bayaran? Or to agree on shady deals? Are you tempted to lie or speak half-truths just to get attention? Just to get protection or reward? Mga kaibigan, mahalaga din na maunawaan natin na hindi porke napagtagumpayan na natin ng isang kasalanan ay hindi na tayo babagsak dito ulit sa ibang mga o bumagsak sa iba pang mga kasalanan. Kasi he did well eh. There's no such thing as a spirit well spa na once out, yes, victory, Lord, thank you, praise God, and from there I'm going to relax. From the time we relax, from the time na inakala natin, na pagtagumpayan na natin itong kasalanan to is yung time na ikababagsak din natin. Maging maingat tayo sa pagmamalaki na napagdaanan na, pag napagdaanan ko na yan, napagtagumpayan ko na yan, papunta pa lang kayo, alam ko na yan, dati akong ganyan, and probably that is true, praise God. Pero, isa, kailangan po natin mag-ingat. Ingat sa kasalanan na ito because we are sinful by nature. We should not be deceived. Kasi pwede pa rin ho tayong bumagsak sa kasalanan kung hindi ho tayo mag-iingat. If nagsimula na ho tayo magmalaki o magkaroon ng pride. At nasa Bible po yan, Proverbs 16:18. I'm reading this in the Christian Standard Bible. Pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall. That's why we must stop the temptation of comparing ourselves to others. Mas okay ako sa kanya. Mas spiritual ako sa tao na ito. Ano ba yan? Yan kahinaan na yan? Para yun lang, eh, careful. Lahat po tayo ay may kahinaan. Lahat tayo ay pwede bumagsak. Kung hindi man similarly sa mga kaibigan o kapatiran natin, may sarili tayong mga kasalanan na kinababagsak. Probably ngayon. Because our hearts are wicked. Pray, brothers and sisters, pray that the Lord would keep us vigilant sa mga similar temptations na bumabalik-balik sa atin or tempt us to sin gaya na ng mga ginawa natin mga nakaraan. Because Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He knows which buttons to push sa atin. Meaning, he knows our weaknesses. He has a lot of experience in knowing people. He cannot read our minds, but he can read our actions. So si Abraham, the father of faith, failed once again to trust the Lord. This is a good reminder din sa atin na si Abraham ay declared righteous, not necessarily sinless. Okay? So Abraham's sin of distrusting the Lord ay nalagay sa alanganin si Sarah at ang promised child, na alagay din sa danger ang buong sambayanan ng Gerar. Now let's go to the second point. And this is the last point, and I'll devote a little bit more time sa point na ito. Let's talk about God's grace and faithfulness. Basahin natin in verses 3 to 7, chapter 20. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman you have taken, for she is a man's wife." Now Abimelech had no approach, had not approached her. So he said, "Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he not himself say to me, 'She is my sister,' and she herself said, 'He is my brother?' In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this." Then God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for this is a prophet, so that he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours." That means yours, everyone in the land. Bigat, ano? God took the initiative na kausapin si Abimelech sa isang panaginip. God, in his grace, intervenes on Abraham's behalf despite the fact na si Abraham ay may kagagawa ng kaguluhan na ito. Do you see the grace and mercy of God sa fallen believer? Makikita natin ang conversation sa ng Panginoon at ni Abimelech sa mga verses na to, from verse 3 to 7. Kung mapapansin ninyo, sisimulan at tinapos ng Diyos ang usapan by giving him a warning. And yung warning na yun is, you are dead. Patay ka. Or in short, kita mo pa na ngayon sa panaginip, oh by the way, patay kang bata ka. Sa simula, you are a dead man. Sa huli ng conversation, papatayin kita. Medyo mabigat yung ano, diin, ano? Papatayin kita kapag hindi mo sinuli yun. Mabigat. Or mamamatay ka. Maaring naalala natin yung warning na yan sa Genesis chapter 2, di ba? God said, the moment you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die, sabi ng Panginoon kay Adam. And so God warns Abimelech that he will destroy him and his household and everything that he possesses dahil sa kinuha niya si Sarah as his wife or concubine. Nagprotesta si Abimelech at sinabi niya hindi niya ginalaw, alam na asawa ni Abraham ito. At siya'y inosente sa sitwasyon na ito. Inosente means, Abimelech does not mean he is sinless. He means innocent siya sa actual sin na ito, which means wala siyang kaalam-alam. Sabi ng Panginoon sa verse 4, Lord, will you kill, sabi ni Abimelech sa verse 4, Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Does this question remind you of something? It reminds us of Genesis 18 when Abraham was appealing, praying for Sodom. He was pleading for Sodom. Di ba ito rin yung tanong? He was appealing sa righteous judgment ng Panginoon. God affirms this, pero sinabi din ng Panginoon na siya ang dahilan kung bakit hindi nagkasala si Abimelech sa kanya. Yes, ginawa mo nga yun, pero ako ang dahilan kung bakit hindi ka nagkasala sa akin. Now, may mga ilang bagay na pwede tayo matutunan sa short verses na ito na gusto ko i-unpack sa ating ngayong umaga. Three things. First of all, lahat ng kasalanan ay laban sa Diyos. All sins committed are sins, are acts of sins against God first and foremost. Sabi sa verse 6, It was I who kept you sinning against me. Lahat ng kasalanan natin ay labag sa kalooban ng Panginoon. Yung tinatawag na sins of omission and sins of commission. Ang sins of commission ay ang willful premeditated act of doing something that goes against God's word. Gaya ng pagsisinungaling, pagnakaw, pagpatay. Meron din tinatawag na sins of omission, which involves not doing what God has commanded in His Word, or passive. So makita nyo, active ang commission and passive ang omission. Both tayo nagkakasala dito. So ang ibig sabihin nito, lahat ng mga nasabi nating masasakit o nagawa nating pananakit laban sa kapwa natin, or kapag nakakaramdam tayo ng bitterness or lust towards others, ay directly sinning against God. Sinabi ni Joseph to sa asawa ni Potiphar sa later chapters in Genesis when Potiphar's wife was tempting to sleep na siya'y makipagtalik sa kanya. Ang sinabi ni Joseph, how can I do such a thing and do such evil sa harapan ng aking Panginoon? So all sins are against God. Nung nagkasala si King David kay Bathsheba, sinulat niya sa Psalm 51, against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, O Lord. Di lamang tayo nagkakasala sa Diyos sa mga nagawa nating kasalanan, kasama rin po yung number two, yung mga kasalanan na hindi natin alam na nagawa natin. Now, that's very tricky. We know some of the sins that we have done, but there are sins in our lives na hindi natin alam na nakakasala na pala tayo. And God will hold us accountable for that kahit hindi natin alam. That's kind of scary. Kung si Abimelech ay nakipagtalik kay Sarah, kahit hindi niya alam na asawa siya ni Abraham, God will still hold him accountable. In fact, God gave already a warning. You will die if you do that. Maring hindi ito intentional, pero ang kasalanan ay kasalanan pa rin sa harapan ng Diyos. At mananagot tayo sa Kanya dahil banal ang ating Diyos. God is holy. Regardless, you know it's a sin or not, God will hold us accountable. Tayo ay mananagot din sa mga kasalanan na tinatago natin, na akala natin na tayo lang nakakaalam o hindi tayo nakakasakit. So ano ba ibig sabihin nito para sa atin ngayon? Di porke wala tayong maisip na nagawang kasalanan, ay nangangahulugan ay wala tayong nagawang kasalanan. Does that make sense? Let me say that again. Hindi porke wala tayong maisip na gawang kasalanan, ay nangangahulugan ay wala tayong nagawang kasalanan. Dahil sa ating sinful nature, naging mapurol ang ating senses pag-discern kung ano ang tama at mali. That's part of the fallen nature. Lahat tayo ay may blind spot sa ating buhay. Hindi natin lubusan nakikita ang ating mga kasalanan. That's the truth. Yun ang sinabi ni David sa Psalm 19 verse 12. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Kung ikaw ay nandito ngayon, at hindi mananampalataya sa Panginoong Hesukristo, maaaring nagugulat ka at nababahala sa mga nadidinig mo ngayong oras na ito. At kaibigan, tama lang na mabahala tayo. Dahil you are sitting against God in many ways. Sinasadya man ito o hindi sinasadya. Aware ka man sa kasalanan na yan o hindi ka aware. God will hold you accountable, responsible sa mga sins na ito. At wala tayong kakayanan na maiayos ito sa harap ng isang banal na Diyos, because we are fallen sinners. You need a sinless, righteous Savior who will save you from your sins, from my sins, on that judgment day. Para sa ating mga mananampalataya na nandito, knowing na may mga kasalanan tayo na pananagutan na hindi natin alam, should lead us to thank God for His grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. When Jesus was on the cross, He bore all our sins. All of them. Kasama ang mga kasalanan na hindi natin alam na ginagawa natin. Kasama ang mga guilt na hindi natin alam. Ibig sabihin nito, pinatawad na niya tayo sa mga kasalanang ito. We should be praising and thanking God for that. Do you see how miserably sinful we are? We don't even know na nakakasala tayo. That's why dito sa Heidelberg Catechism, na binasa natin sa page 7, sa question number 2, who do you need to know in order to live and die in the joy of comfort? Ang sagot, first, how great my sins and misery are. You have to understand how miserable sinners we are. In order for second, to know that I need to be delivered from all of these sins and misery. So you see, on the judgment day, doon lang lahat isisiwalat ang mga nagawa nating kasalanan. Kasama ang mga di natin alam na guilty tayo. We will see the full magnitude of our sin and we will be shocked. But on that day, on that very same day, we will also have full understanding on how marvelous, how wonderful, how spectacular ang grace ng Panginoon through Jesus Christ sa mga makakasalanan na tulad natin. When He died for our sins. Third, tuwing tayo ay hindi nakakagawa ng kasalanan, ito ay isang biyaya o grace ng Panginoon sa atin. That's God's grace if we're not able to sin. So what does this mean? Huwag tayong mayabang. Uy, good boy ako ngayon. Uy, very good ako ngayon. Kung hindi ho sa grasya ng Panginoon, wala tayo. God kept Abimelech from sinning. It was mentioned later sa passage that God caused ang mga alipin niya at mga asawa niya at mga kababaihan sa tahanan niya na hindi mabuntis o mabaog. And he has given Abimelech a certain ailment. Probably itong ailment na ito ay may kinalaman for him na ma-prevent to have any kind of sexual activity. So we don't know. Pero may ganong klaseng sakit si Abimelech, lahat ng mga babae doon ay hindi mabuntis. This is God's grace to him. Teka, may sakit ako, tapos mga asawa ko niyo, that's God's grace? Yes! In this part ng life, the story ni Abraham, so that ni Abimelech, so that he would not sin against God. Oh friends, there are prayers that we ask sa Panginoon that are really sinful prayers. That we don't even know it's sinful. Or maybe prayers na hindi natin alam na against sa kalooban niya. Could it be that God not answering your prayers is a means of grace sa'yo so that you would not sin against Him? O mapariwara sa Kanya? This is God's grace and kindness. It is God who kept us, it is God who kept us from sinning to Him. Kaya tama lang na tayo ay patuloy magpasalamat sa Panginoon, giving us the grace to fight sin well. He's also the reason why as we grow in maturity in Christ, dahang-dahan nawawala ang panlasa natin sa kasalanan. Have you ever seen such growth sa life mo? Na before you used to love and adore this sin, now no more? You hate it, you abhor it. That is but grace. But it doesn't mean na hindi tayo pwedeng matukso ulit, so be careful. Dapat tayo magpuri at magpasalamat sa Panginoon sa mga evidences of righteousness at holy living sa buhay natin. As a matter of fact, if you have a family member na kung saan who came to faith in Christ, praise God. I want to caution you na huwag niyo masyadong pulisin. Akala ko ba Christian ka, dapat nag-grow ka? No, don't do that. You should be praising God for evidences of grace, evidences of righteousness and holy living in his or her life. So, brothers and sisters, dito sa Crossroads, we should be celebrating and praising God and thanking and encouraging the brothers and sisters who are growing in faith. And I hope hindi tayo mga tipong Kristiyano na kung saan pag nakita natin lumalago sa pananampalataya, ginagamit ng Panginoon, mas nanggigigil tayo. Dahil sa insecurity at inggit marahil. We don't want to be that. We want to be cheerleaders of people who are growing in the faith. Mga kapatid, nagpasalamat ka ba sa Panginoon dahil sa napaglalabanan mo ang tukso at napagtatanggupayan mo ang kasalanan? Do you ever thank God for that and praise Him? Or maybe tayo yung nagsasabi, well, talagang walang wala. Eh, mature na ako, pasto. Talagang tapos, ano, mature. Walang maturing, ano. Talagang mature. Ito na, glorified body na ito ngayon dito sa lupa. Diba? Kailangan ho natin mag-ingat, okay? Kasi hindi man natin ito binibigkas, nasa puso natin yan. At yung evidence niyan is when we compare ourselves to others. Nagpapasalamat ka ba na you are walking in obedience sa Panginoon ngayon? You should because He's the one who is persevering you. You should. I should. Medyo interesting ang contrast between Abimelech at kay Abraham dito. Mas righteous ang behavior ni Abimelech. Isang pagan at cowardly and unrighteous naman ang behavior ni Abraham, which is so-called the father of faith. Mas may integridad si Abimelech sa storya na ito kaysa kay Abraham. And yet, God calls Abraham a prophet. which is first time nabanggit ito sa Bible. Hindi dahil sa nakakita siya ng mga pangitain or he can foretell the future, but because of his relationship with God. That later on, makikita natin yung relationship niyan in action as he prays for Abimelech and God heals him. Let's read verses 8 to 13. So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them all these things. And the men were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abram, said to him, "What have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said to Abram, "What did you see that you did this thing?" Abram said to him, "It's because I thought there is no fear of God in all in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is indeed my sister and a daughter of my father, though not daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, 'This is the kindness you must do to me, that every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother.'" This is yung second conversation na nakita natin sa narrative na ito, at least in this chapter. It's amazing na noong kinwento ni Abimelech sa mga servants niya, yung kanyang panaginip, all of them were afraid, which means all of them took God's word seriously compared kay Abraham. Again, another contrast. Dito, Abimelech comforts Abraham, confronts Abraham sa kanyang kasalanan. This is kind of embarrassing, actually, if a non-believer confronts a Christian of being faithless, of being sinful. That's kind of embarrassing. Kind of anti-calling natin, because we are called to be salt and light. And here you go. The non-believer confronts and preaches on righteousness. Ginamit ng Panginoon si Abimelech para i-expose ang kasalanan ni Abraham. And he had exposed it by asking three questions from verses 9 hanggang 10. Verse 9, "What have you done to us?" Ano ba itong ginawa mo sa amin? Second part of verse 9, "How have we sinned against you that you have brought this to me and my kingdom?" Ano ba ginawa namin sa iyo at dinala mo sa amin itong kaguluhan na ito? And third, "What did you see that you have done this?" Ano ba naisip mo? Ginawa mo ito. Ano ba nakita? Ano ba naisip mo? I mean, he's frustrated. He has every right to be. With these questions, Abraham's heart was exposed sa kasalanan niya. At ang response ni Abraham ay mas disappointing kumpara sa kanyang pagsisinungaling. Because he did not give three reasons, he gave three excuses. Verse 11, "Takot ako sa godlessness ninyong tigag-Gerar. Natatakot ako dahil hindi kayo maka-Diyos. Wala kayong takot sa Diyos." Alam mo, sa part na ito, medyo maunawaan mo pa siya eh. Kasi dahil Abraham witnessed godlessness sa Sodom and Gomorrah. He knows what wickedness and godlessness looks like. So probably that triggered fear. Pero ang issue dito ay he failed to trust in a sovereign God who promised to bless and protect him. Nakalimutan niya na pinrotektahan siya sa Eastern Kings. Second, verse 12, "Siya ay ang aking half-sister." Tama naman ito. Half-sister. Which is, ang problema lang po dito is, yung relationship niya sa asawa niya is parang ginawa niyang walang kwenta. One pastor said, "Half-truth masquerading as a whole truth is a whole lie." Half-truth masquerading as a whole truth is a whole lie. So in short, he lied. Asawa mo siya. Third, verse 13, which is very interesting. Napagkasunduan na namin ito. Napagkasunduan na nila to. Yun ang sinasabi ng verse na to, sa verse 13. Ito na ang napag-agrihan namin 25 years ago nung tinawag kami ng Panginoon umalis at pumunta sa land at hindi namin alam kung saan dadalhin. Since hindi namin alam kung saan kami pupunta at mga land na yan ay maraming wicked people, ang usapan na namin ito is, do me this kindness. Kung saan man tayo mapadpad, sabihin mo magkapatid tayo para hindi ako patayin. Now, hindi ko alam kung ano rin ang pumasok sa isip ni Sarah, ano, at pumayag siya ron. Maring mahal na talaga si Abraham o wala siyang choice. We don't know the reason, pero sige na lang. But, in short, alam niyo ba yung sinasabi niya rito? Well, actually, nung tinawag kami ng Panginoon, kaya ako nagawa yun eh. Kasalanan mo to, Lord. Dati, hindi kapatid ang tawag ko ron sa lugar namin dati, sa Ure. Ngayon, nung lumabas kami, tawag ko sa kanya, half-sister. Well, eh, syempre, baka mahirap na, baka may mangyari sa akin. So, Lord, kasalanan mo to. Real talk lang, Lord. This reminds us of something, right? A story in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam was being confronted by the Lord, ang sinabi niya, it was the woman that you gave me. So Adam is saying, kasalanan mo pa rin to, Lord. And again, hindi nawawala ito sa lahi ni Adam. Ano? And here comes Abraham, Lord, nung tinawag mo ako, ganun eh. And these are really weak arguments and poor excuses. Friends, listen. God in His grace ginamit si Abimelech in order to expose Abraham's sin para hindi na siya magpatuloy sa kanyang habitual sins. This is an habitual sin. Paulit-ulit na lang to eh. This is God's grace, mercy, and kindness to him. This is also a good reminder sa ating mga Kristiyano. Now, number one, as mentioned kanina, we don't usually see our sins. God will use people who will speak truth in our lives para makita yung ating kasalanan. But as we grow in Christian maturity, God in His mercy allows us to discover more of our sins. Yun yung blessing ko dito. He will use people to expose yung ating sins, whether ito'y Christian or non-Christian. We are confronted in a kind way or in a harsh way. Have you been confronted in a harsh way this week? And kaya ka naiinis hindi lang dahil sa harsh yung approach kasi totoo. Could it be the Lord is using that person to speak into your life? This is God's kindness to you. Ayaw ng Panginoon manatili tayo sa ating stubborn sins. That's why it is important to be with people who loves the Lord, who loves you, and cares about you, and cares about your personal holiness. And where is the best place to be to look for these people? The church. And I'm glad that all of you are here. You need godly, and I need godly people who will take a risk of being rejected and hated by us in order to speak truth into our lives. We need those risk takers at Crossroads. I know there are a lot of people in this church who have taken a risk confronting, exposing my hearts that the Lord has, by His grace, had turned my wicked ways sa mga na-confront na ito. Just this week, my wife, Diane, exposed my heart of a sin, a habitual sin na hindi ko napapansin o namamalaya na mali pala o kasalanan pala. And she's saying that is causing hurt sa tao if you continue doing that. I didn't see that. Nung una, it was offensive. Nung una, parang hindi ko naman nakikita yon, but that's exactly the point, isn't it? We have blind spots, spiritual blind spots. And we need to heed. I need to heed. And now I'm trying to be more careful as I rely on the Holy Spirit to guide me to repent and change. Friends, are there people in your life who is slowly being destroyed by sin that you need to speak truth in love this week? Or maybe mamaya, over lunch? Huwag naman lunch, Pastor, baka mawala ng gana. Okay, pray. Pray for that timing. Or maybe there are people in your life who are speaking truth about a particular sin in your life. The question is, how are you responding? Regardless na harsh ito o mabuti yung pagkakasabi, God probably is using that person. And sometimes God uses our enemies to call us out. And these are the hard people to listen to, ano yung mga taong nakaaway natin. But you must also believe na pwedeng gamitin din yun ng Panginoon. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Expose them. What sins na ang kailangan ma-expose sa heart mo today? Approach the elders. Approach your Bible study leaders. Approach a brother or sister who will speak into your life. Here's the truth, hindi mo kaya yan mag-isa. You cannot hide that for long. It will destroy you. May kasabihan yung sa amin na kapag nagtago ka ng isang bulok na kamatis sa kaban ng lahat ng magagandang kamatis, anong mangyayari? Magiging sariwa yung bulok. Hindi po. Mabubulok lahat ng mga kamatis. Kung pinanatili mo yan, yung kabulukan na yan sa'yo, madadamay ang bawat anggulo ng buhay mo. Let's read our final verses, 14 to 18. And we're almost done. Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abram and returned Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. To Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Let me pause. I don't know if being sarcastic ng konti si Abimelech dito. Ito sa kapatid mo. Interesting. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you, and before everyone you are vindicated. Then Abram prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Makikita natin dito that God was true to His promise, that He will indeed bless those who will bless Abraham and curse those who curse Abraham. Sa grace ng Panginoon, Abimelech gifted Abraham with many livestock and riches and servants. Pinayaman niya lalo si Abraham. Binalik niya si Sarah, ang kanyang asawa. Inalok na tumira sa kahit saan sa lugar dito sa lupaid niya sa kaharian. Binigyan ng 1,000 pieces of silver para ipaaram sa lahat na si Sarah is not defiled. Which is napaka-crucial po nito because this tells everyone na walang nangyari sa kanila ng hari. Kapag lumabas yung miracle child na to, which is the next chapter, walang magdududa o mag-aakusa na anak yan ng hari. Abraham prayed for Abimelech and God healed him at lahat ng kababaihan kasama ang wife ni Abimelech at sila'y nabuntis. Kadalasan nakikita natin si Abraham as a spiritual hero. At tama lang. May kakahanga-hanga. Kapuri-puri ang kamang ginawa para sa Panginoon. Ngunit gaya natin, si Abraham ay tao lamang. At kapag nahihirapan sa isang sirkumstansya sa kanyang buhay, pwede rin siyang manghina at magkasala tulad natin. Abraham points to a much greater hero, and his name is Jesus Christ. Kaya dapat hindi kay Abraham nakatuon ang ating atensyon, kasi si Jesus ang tunay na hero ng story na ito. As a matter of fact, it is Jesus is the true story of the Bible. God chose and sent Abraham bilang representative niya to be a blessing to the families of the earth. God sent His Son Jesus to the world in order that through Him all nations will be blessed. Abram did not trust God and so endangered the lives ng lahat ng tao sa Gerar for his own safety. But Jesus trusted the Father and gave his life for the eternal safety ng mga taong ililigtas niya from every tongue, tribe, and nation. Nagsinungaling si Abraham so no one will murder him. Jesus spoke the truth about himself and he was murdered. Abraham was rightly accused and yet gave very poor excuses. Jesus was falsely accused, and even though he spoke the truth, he was nailed on a tree. Friends, Jesus is the better Abraham. Jesus is the God-man, lived a life of perfect obedience, something that we cannot accomplish, and died the death that we deserve as a ransom sa ating mga kasalanan. Friends, there is an invitation to repent, turn away, talikuran ang ating mga kasalanan, at ilagay ang ating pananampalataya kay Kristo at ang ginawa niya sa krus bilang kabayaran sa ating kasalanan. Place our faith in Christ's finished work on the cross alone for salvation, for forgiveness, for reconciliation, for hope. Alam ninyo, with all the references kay Abraham na nabanggit dito sa Bible, hindi binanggit ng Panginoon sa New Testament yung incident na ito. Yung pagsisinungaling and everything like that. Wala sa Romans, wala sa Galatians, wala rin sa Hebrews 11. In fact, sa Hebrews 11, si Abraham ay pinuri sa kanyang pananampalataya. God did not refer to his past sins para hiyain siya. But he did mention his faith para maalala siya. His sin was forgiven. His sins were forgotten. And the beauty of this, mga kapatid sa Panginoon, though he faltered many times, almost caused the death of a nation, ginamit pa rin siya ng Panginoon. Forgiven him, cleansed him, and true to his promise, God is faithful sa kanya at ginamit pa rin siya sa gawain niya. It is good to serve and worship a God who remains sovereign even when we doubt his ability to care for us and gracious when we sin. To serve a God like that is the world's greatest joy and opportunity. Our God is a promise-keeping God, and he will fulfill his promises in spite of us. We saw how he fulfilled his promises to Abraham's life, and now we see it supremely in Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Our God is faithful to keep his promises despite our faith failures. Let us pray. Oh, Father, Lord, our God, you are a God of grace and a God of mercy, and we praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, for not treating us as our sins deserve. We thank you through the faithful ministry of Jesus Christ. We have received forgiveness. You have cleansed us from our sins. You have reconciled us to yourself, and now you are using us to spread the ultimate news of the gospel to the ends of the world, dito sa Dera, dito sa Dubai and beyond. Lord, the very gospel that led us to salvation, you have called us to herald it to the lost. It is an honor, Lord. It is humbling. May you continue to use us for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.